This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Just cleared to center for Tate. He's got a breakaway. Tate to win the game. Marion Hossa. A singular effort. Here's
Matt Smith.
What
a tenor goal.
Crawford. Call the cops.
Welcome in to another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, site manager at Second City Hockey, just your average clodhopper from Griffith. You can find me on Twitter at @SCH_DaveM. I've got all my usual line mates with me this evening. It's just before the holidays, so hopefully we get a little festive at some point this evening. We may not start off that way because, well, we do have to talk about the Blackhawks. So first off, on Twitter at Shepherd Price, the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, Shepherd Price.
Hi, I'm 26 and my spine hurts. I didn't sign up for this. can somebody like take me off whatever list I'm on? Like, hey, their spine is supposed to hurt.
I don't think you can get a return either. Like 26 years, I think, is past the statute of limitations.
It's past the warranty. I only had warranty for 25 years.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers. That's still an upper body injury, right?
I think that'd be classified. I'm pretty sure back is classified as upper body.
Yeah.
Marion Hossa was always like upper body.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you about that. I mean, you said your spine was hurting. Like, I just immediately like shivered in like, I've only did a back injury one time in my life because I deadlifted in high school incredibly poorly and messed up my back for a weekend. But I was like 16 and I was good after a day or two. I cannot imagine what it's like to have back pain all the time. Sounds like the worst thing in the world.
Usually yoga is fine enough for me. And it's been like a little while since I did yoga, but like
maybe that
little while is within the week.
You know, so maybe just do more or less.
Yeah. It's the winter time. So I'll be doing a lot more yoga, I think.
Yeah. That's my medical profession or medical expertise suggestion. Do more or less until it stops hurting.
There you go.
Also with us this evening, he's on Twitter at Millen82, and he is the Second City Hockey, what Alvin is to Alvin and the Chipmunks. It's Mil Savage. I'm so glad you did that, because that's entirely why I referenced that group. Not quite as high, but, you know, we can work on it.
I'm going to pitch it up in post-production.
Oh, good work. Or maybe are we just shoot the real thing.
I'm going to auto.
Are we caroling this episode?
I was not in key.
No, I think that was the only caroling that's going to happen on this edition.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, we'll see where it goes. We don't know. That was a family tradition, decorating the Christmas tree with the Alvin and the Chipmunks on audio cassette. So,
yeah, I was Alvin for Halloween a few years ago.
Steve
was Simon and one of our other friends was Theodore. It was pretty good.
You know what? Did you have a Dave?
No, we can adopt you as our Dave.
Okay. Yeah.
Our official, because you're literally Dave.
I am literally Dave, but the difficulty would be, as I imagine, you would all be taller than me, and it'd be weird if the Chipmunks were all taller than Dave. Like, that's not how that's supposed to work.
Well, Steve's taller than everybody, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, me and Alex DeBrinket are about the same height, and neither one of us is happy about it, so.
So you're going to start fighting people and scoring goals?
Not necessarily in that order.
Fair enough.
Yeah, something like that. Also with us this evening, she's not on Twitter, but you can find her at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR, and she is, of course, the Second City Hockey pool and wall of text. It is Betsy.
I was going to update people who cared that the open bar at the zoo was not really, it was at a building at the zoo, but we weren't allowed to drink while looking at the actual animals.
That's when you said that was so disappointing. I mean, it makes sense, like from probably a legality and a liability perspective, like they probably can't have a bunch of drunk idiots walking around the zoo, drinks in hand, but. Yeah, open bar at the zoo sounded a lot better until you gave us the review of it.
Yeah, and luckily one bar was like, we'll make anything you want. But they had like little bars everywhere and they all had specialty drinks based on where I work. And I was like, some of them were not great. But one of them did have come with a light up cup, which I actually really liked.
So wait, where's the booze? They were like booze stations scattered around the zoo, essentially?
Scattered around the building we were in, like on the floor we were, and there was like a s'more making place. It had lots of food, but you could also just sit there and roast a little, like make yourself a little s'more, which I just kept eating marshmallows. So yep.
Yeah,
I mean, pretty good alcohol, marshmallows.
Yeah, I mean not like the worst. I mean, you, like you said, you still got the, you know, open bar, never a bad time, but we'll call it mildly underwhelming, I guess.
Yeah, I was expecting a little bit more. We could see elephants from the like outside area for a little while until it got really, you know, dark. And then they were away. And then every once in a while you would forget you were at the zoo, but then a whiff, the wind would blow and you're like, oh yeah, it still smells like
still smells like animal shit. Yeah. Okay. While we're on the topic of things that are mildly underwhelming, the Chicago Blackhawks. coming to you on Monday evening. Yeah. Heavy sigh. That's exactly the feeling these days. They played two games over the weekend. They lost both of them in overtime. One of them was to the Nashville Predators. The other one was to the Dallas Stars. And I think Saturday's result, not the worst one in the world, but the game on Friday, like half of Nashville's team is in COVID protocol. They played the night before. Just all these things were lining up. Like this would be a perfect game for the Hawks to win. And they fucking lost in overtime. So I don't really know how many burning thoughts we have. These are the only two games we have to talk about because the game coming up on Tuesday has been postponed. And we'll dive into postponement talk in a little bit. But Shay, swinging it around to you first. Any major thoughts, comments, concerns from the last two games of Blackhawks hockey?
So over the weekend, the two teams in my life, my personally, both played two games. Both had the same exact scores, except Vegas won their games in overtime, and Chicago lost their games in overtime. And I'll key you into a key metric in deciding that. Vegas put up 64 shots. The Blackhawks put up 42. The Blackhawks are very bad at shot generation.
Just offense, like their offense in general, really.
They're like, it's a dearth. This is a rut, trench, lack. All these harsh sounding words that are true of the Blackhawks offense. Like the guys you want to see score are scoring. I'll say that. Jonathan Toews has three goals on the season now. Kirby Dach scored his fifth. Dominic Kubalik scored his sixth. Good. More of that, please. And also, just again, get in the offensive zone. LBR will probably bring up that the Blackhawks counterattack is fine. Can you sustain pressure? Can they sustain pressure at any point over the last 3 years? No. Could they start sustaining pressure sometime soon? Because that's like the key difference.
Yeah. Well, that's I wouldn't hold your breath for that. I think that's the thing that's worried me a little bit is that the thing you were talking about, Shay, with like some of the, you know, Jonathan Toews busted his goalless slump. Kubalik's tallied a few times. Kirby Dach's gotten off the schneid a little bit. DeBrincat's continuing to score. And so you thought that maybe, like, all of those guys scoring would coincide with everything getting better because they were still winning games in spite of all those players having massive offensive slumps. So in the last handful of games, like, they scored four against Toronto. They scored four against Washington. Was that a shootout win? I can't remember. When they beat the Capitals, I think that was an overtime winner.
That was a shootout. It was a shootout.
Okay.
Because we got two posts in that shootout.
That's right. Okay. So you scored four against Washington, two against Nashville, and three against the Stars. So that's not – like, the offense is picking up a little bit, but now they're – yeah. They're still getting just the overall control of the puck has not been in their favor, I guess is what I'm trying to reach at here. Swinging around to Betsy, anything else to add to Shea's comments, or do you have another way to steer the direction of what's been going on with this team?
Well, I was going to say I have 2 points. One is
two more than the Hawks.
When
that's not true. They've got two in their.
That's exactly the same amount of points.
Yeah, you're right.
But in one of the threads, Ray's brought up a thing about how there were a bunch of people being like, okay, well, they should still be able to win occasionally through good goalie play and stuff like that. And she said something about how we keep reiterating about the cycle game and how we don't think it's ever coming. And it's not a personnel thing to me, because I think they have players that can cycle the puck. We know for a fact that Taves and Kubalik and Strome even have done it consistently in the NHL before. We know Hagel does it pretty well. Kurashev and Doc have both done it exceptionally well in other leagues. And then Kane and DeBrincat both know, like, get them in the zone and they'll do whatever you need them to do. And they're the only two that are cycling somewhat, their line, depending on who their center is. That's the only line that ever even gets some offensive zone time. So I don't think it's a personnel issue, and I don't think it's a problem that they can't overcome. But it has to come from the coaches. Right now, they did a good job of being like, okay, suppress shots, suppress quality chances against. Now focus on putting up shots and quality chances. Something, anything. The whole King's comment of it'll come is the same like kind of blasé attitude that irked me about Colleton when he would say something like, well, it's not line chemistry. And you'd be like,
combination, it's the work ethic.
Yeah, you'd be like, no, bro, it's the way that you, sir, are approaching offense with these players. It doesn't make any sense. So I don't think it's a personnel issue. I don't think they have the perfect personnel, don't get me wrong, but I think that they have enough of a top nine that they could do it. And then my second one was, there were a lot of people in the comments getting really like heated over overtime.
Oh, there was a lengthy discussion on three on three overtime.
I'm not gonna reiterate overtime stats and face off and blah blah blah. I'm just gonna say the problem isn't the overtime strategy. It's the fact that the Blackhawks keep getting to overtime. They need to figure out how to score and win in regulation more regularly.
Yeah.
So your focus is on something that shouldn't be that big a deal. You shouldn't get to 3-on-3 as much as they have been.
Yeah. There's no 3-on-3 overtime in the postseason. So I can't, it'd be like the same argument about getting really upset about the shootout. Like if people want to get into that conversation, have at it, more power to you, but I cannot, it just doesn't seem interesting to me. Cause as you said, it's not, you can eliminate it pretty quickly by just not going into overtime in games. Mel, what about you? What are some of your thoughts and observations from the last couple of games?
Oh, I got notes, Dave.
Oh, you got notes. All right.
Yeah. So, okay, here's what really interesting thing. Even though the offense isn't good, the Hawks lost the Preds game. They gave up two power play goals, and then they lost in 3-on-3, which really that goal was kind of on Patrick Kane's lazy-ass change.
Is that the game where he got hit in the face with a puck?
Or was that But
because I thought that was the one where
he got hit in the face with the puck in Nashville, skated the puck in a little bit, like he tried to get it out and then went to change as anybody should do. And there were a lot of people heated about it. Maybe he could have done more, but he did in fact get hit in the face.
Well, I don't care that he changed, but you gotta get the fuck off the ice. Like he kinda like waltzed over there, and especially if your face needs attention. Okay.
Go ahead, Mill. Sorry.
But anyways, I don't care about overtime or shootout. Like we'll just chuck that up as 3-on-3. So really they did not give up any 5-on-5 goals in that game, but they scored two. Mm-hmm. Kirby Doc did a good job of taking advantage of two fucking defensemen behind the net for Nashville. We're familiar with that. And the other goal, they don't go wide well. They kind of like collapse too much, too far to one side. And Jonathan Toews just kind of was able to swing in there on the Stillman pass. So all things considered, even though if the offense was better, they'd probably be winning all these games in regulation, like you guys said, but it's not like they lost 5-on-5, right? But the other game too is the same thing. Nashville scored 1, 2, 3 power play goals.
Yeah,
I think. And the game, yeah, because the game winning goal was in overtime on the power play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the only 5-on-5 goal they gave up against the Stars, Entwistle, I think it was playing up on the boards, and Murphy overplayed it, and then because Murphy was overplaying, I think it was McCabe, somebody got torched in front of the net, but Kubalik needed to come down and help. It was a total collapse, but it was just basically everybody overplayed, kind of just an unlucky 5-on-5 goal. But the Hawks are not relying on the power play. They scored maybe one power play goal in that game, but they're giving up way too many power play goals and taking too many penalties. I don't think we're talking about that enough.
Yeah, I think that's that is not like the 5-on-5 play has mildly improved over the last month under the King era, we'll say. Certainly still room for improvement, especially on the offensive side of things. But now the penalty kill is just hemorrhaging goals against right now. And it's like, as you said, Mill, like it probably cost them the Nashville game. There were a few other, I think against Toronto, they gave a pair of power play or a pair of goals while shorthanded. And the penalty kills kind of like problem number one at the moment, isn't it? It's getting pretty close.
Well, yeah, and if you look at it, the Hawks were losing both of these games and climbed back to get to overtime, which is somewhat encouraging. But you can't do that and then lose because you're splitting points with division teams and you're giving them the extra point.
And that's what made the loss to the Predators on Friday night so frustrating, not only because of how depleted Nashville was, but it's a divisional opponent. It's a team you're trying to catch. And that's, I think Nashville's the team directly above Chicago. So it's actually the one team that is within their range. Like everybody else, like Dallas and Colorado and St. Louis are still a good distance away from the Hawks. They like, you could have narrowed the gap at least of one team in front of you just to get out of the second to last place where they've been etched since the season started, and they fucked up that chance. So,
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of problems I see with the offense as well. Like you guys were all saying, their sloppy passing is really bad. Like they're passing like shit, and they don't like to carry the puck into the zone. They like to dump and chase at will. Like there's times where they could walk it in and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know if they're doing much to correct that. Visually though, the defense, and I don't mean the eye test, but you could just see like the formation and the way the defense moves looks so much better. It's night and day.
Yeah. And then I guess you just gotta put it at the offensive end of the ice.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't really know much else to talk about with the team. Like they're still just a general like lack of offensive punch. Like it's like, as I think Shea was the one that mentioned, like some of the players are getting off the schneid, like Kubalik and Toews. And now that they're playing Strome consistently, and God hope that continues, some of those names are starting to show up, but now it's the fucking penalty kill. So, and I feel like this is like what happens over an 82 game season. Like, you know, your power play will carry you for a little bit, and then your penalty kill sucks, and then you got to fix that. And then your defense sucks for a little bit, and you got to fix that. So I'm not like, this is not atypical for any team. Like, this is what happens over the course of a very long 82 game season. It's just good coaches figure it out. And the book is still out on Derek King because it's his first coaching job ever. So we don't know, but they're certainly going to have plenty of time off over the next week and a half to get the penalty kill situated. So hopefully that is objective number one, is fixing the penalty kill, because it feels like that's been the bugaboo for the Hawks for a few weeks now.
I want to throw out real quick too, he better figure out that Strome needs to stay in this lineup, because him and Hagel have been creating a lot of offense. They've been like the two drivers for me as far as like their play in all three zones.
Yeah, I got no disagreements there. I've actually Go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know the card that I sent you and you put in your recap, Dave. Oddly, and people love to shit on Strom's defense, he's been one of the strongest defensive, like, in that game score. Part of it is because he's driving the play, and the best defense is good offense. But again, that whole, sometimes coaches say quotes that we don't like, and the one that I've disliked about King the most so far, other than it will come when it comes to offense, was that, who would you trust in the defensive zone for a defensive faceoff? Would it be Strom? And I was like, well, Strom's actually been pretty good at faceoffs, so maybe. And then two, last year he was a top 10 forward at getting the puck out of the defensive zone. So
it was his breakout passes. He was like top 10 in the entire league, and DeBrincat was up there too.
Yeah, DeBrincat was top five. I would trust Strom over like half the lineup.
He's been accessing in that department.
Yeah, that's the thing about Strom, is that he's actually low key, like, very good defensively. Like, people like showing him for no reason. He's actually decent.
Yeah, I mean, you don't, and defense isn't necessarily like, maybe he'll lose a check at the point from time to time. Like, that happens. But if you can just get the puck out of your end and go the other way, that's pretty damn good. That's a very good skill to have, because as we have watched with this Blackhawks team for several seasons now, if you get stuck in your end for minutes on end, you know, bad things happen. And if you have a player who can just get you out of your own end, that is a wildly underrated skill.
Yeah. And the other thing that I was going to mention that I didn't before was, this whole like AHL coach thing, liking to play effort over like skill or efficiency. Sometimes stop playing people like Slavin, who I love. Okay. I love Slavin. I think he'll be a great, maybe even third liner, but I definitely think he could be a fourth liner in the NHL and be very good at it.
A pleasant
surprise. Putting him up with Kane and DeBrincat for almost an entire, like, stop that, please. Don't do that. He looked behind them on every play.
I think what we are going, the player that is going to have like the crux for the hockey philosophy debate that exists, just in general, but it's going to be crystallized with this coaching staff, is Curtis Gabriel. Because there was a headline from the Chicago Sun-Times recently based off of comments from Derek King. I'm going to read the quote verbatim as reported by Ben Pope. This is Derek King speaking about Curtis Gabriel. He's going to get every opportunity to play. That's why we brought him in. That comment alone is a little bit scary, because Curtis Gabriel seems like a nice guy. I have no issues with him personally.
They're a new nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, him and Reese Johnson, great dudes. But he's played 50 NHL games. He has scored 2 goals. He has 3 assists. The only big number he has is 153 penalty minutes.
And that was with an offensive team.
Yeah. And like he was in Toronto from the start of this season and was playing with the Marlies because he couldn't crack the NHL roster. I don't understand why a guy like Curtis Gabriel is going to get every opportunity to play when Dylan Strome gets scratched if he takes one step in the wrong direction. That is like, that kind of epitomizes the entire, the differences of hockey philosophy that exist. And that's why I have a little bit of worries about Derek King in any sort of with the Hawks.
Yeah, he continues to come off like an AHL coach and not an NHL coach.
That's exactly what I was going to say. This is like the college coaches trying to be in the NFL and then they can't do it. It's two different games. Well, that guy's a fucking mess, but
yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about. It's like Shay just brought up, like, it's like he's coaching an AHL style game, but you're not going to win in the NHL like that.
Yeah, it's so these guys can all play hockey. Like, they're all skilled. They're all like,
you have two guys that are going to go into the Hall of Fame as soon as they retire.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon Bolick, I think, had more hockey skill than Curtis Gabriel. At least
Bolick. I don't know about that. You have to be able to skate to have hockey skill.
Well, the biggest difference between Curtis Gabriel and Bolick is that Bolick was playing in on a great team in an extremely provenly successful system. And so his flaws were kind of covered by that. But other than the one playoff season they didn't win between 2013-2015, Bolick, that was the only one that he played, and he played like 2 minutes in the final couple of games. And, you know, like, even Q was like, I'm not going to play him very much. But then when 2015 came around and the Blackhawks had more options, of course, he got traded right before that. But like in 2013, sorry, they didn't play him because why would they? I think the same thing should happen. I'm fine with giving Curtis Gabriel like a chance to see if he can work in a defensive role. I actually don't know how good he is defensively, just that he doesn't have very good stats in the AHL for that. And that's where I'm going to judge him, because that's where he's been consistently over the past several years. But his skating is weird and he's not fast either. So I'm like, other than punching faces, if he doesn't bring anything other than that, he should not take up even 5 minutes of time. Yeah. And I'm not accepting that whole argument of, well, he's giving other offensive players a chance to skate more. And it's like, how about instead just having an actual effective NHL player in that role?
Like, I understand that Toronto is a much better team this season. They have a much deeper roster, but the fact that he couldn't, like the very fact that he was in the Toronto organization and never at the NHL level should tell you that on good teams, this is a player that probably isn't going to contribute much. So the fact that the Hawks picked him up and are trying to play him at the NHL level is like, why? Because if you ever get good, you're just going to throw this guy away. So why not just let Kurashev play? Let Kurashev have those 5 minutes, or let Mackenzie Entwistle play, or Slavin play. Like, and all those guys are staying in the lineup. But I don't understand why he's here. I don't get it. I don't understand why they think they need this anymore, because time and time again, the good teams in the NHL don't have players like this.
And the other thing, AHL coaching mindset.
Well,
the other thing that's driving me crazy too is that the way these guys are playing, they're trying to impress an AHL coach. So they are hitting guys after the play. Stillman's been hitting guys before a whistle's blown, like red ass stuff. I don't need them to come up here and check guys and fight like to get in the lineup. And if that's how you're going to get guys in the lineup, that's just stupid.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to have to watch this game through an AHL lens, and I don't like that. But that's
hell no.
Yeah.
And you know, the debate that went on in the comments was, you know, this whole like idea of grit versus not grit, and it's like, I love gritty players. Like Andrew Shaw was one of my favorite players, and Boland was one of my favorite players. Yeah. Andrew Ladd was great, and we all loved, you know, we like gritty players, but we like effective grittiness. We don't like guys that are one-dimensional.
I mean, Jonathan Toews has a lot of, like, especially before he hurt his back. Like, he never lost a fucking board battle.
Mm-hmm. I think, so, like, 90% of the NHL play, like, they're all tough. You don't make it to the NHL by not being tough. Like, that's just, yeah, that's I don't know.
It's a contact sport.
Yeah, collision sport sometimes is where we've learned over the last few weeks. I guess that's a perfect segue into my quick. Brett Connolly got suspended 4 games for a hit that is really like, you can't really defend it. The puck was up on the glass and Kara wasn't looking. And I don't think Connolly had any malicious intent. I think the reason the head contact happened is because Connolly's like 6 inches taller than Tanner Kiro, and glad to hear that Tanner Kiro's okay. But I just don't get how the fuck Brett Connolly gets 4 games and Jacob Trouba doesn't get anything.
Jacob Trouba, who did it in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
And then once to Nathan MacKinnon. And I know star players shouldn't treat star players differently, but maybe you should when it's Nathan MacKinnon.
I know why. I don't like why, but I know it's just because it was interference and not playing the puck. But yeah. I don't agree with the suspension at all. Like I think Brett Connolly was fucking slow to realize that the puck was over up on the glass, and he just fucking made a dumb play.
I think, yeah, it looked like he was going in, like he was going.
He was trying
like,
to cut the puck off to keep it into the zone. If you look at where his eyes are.
Yeah. And then it was just like, oh shit. Like didn't like deer in the headlights type of look and hit Kiro. And like, he got the same suspension that after an appeal lowered it, that Jason Spezza got for throwing his knee into the face of Neil Pionk. Like, went in knee first into the guy's jaw. Like, how the fuck are these the same penalty?
Look, I just want to throw out, I hate arguing the legality or how clean or dirty a hit was, but I think that they need to really make the rules clear cut, because if you have the game on ESPN and you're a casual fan flipping through and trying to learn hockey, how the hell does anybody know what the rules are?
Yeah, I just, like, I don't think Trubis, I think we talked about it already, like, last week. Like, I don't think Trubis' hit had malicious intent either. I don't think it was a dirty hit, but he did catch him in the head. And knocked, like, it looked like Kara was out in midair before his head cracked off the ice. And thank God Kara's back skating, so he's okay, too. Or getting okay. So, I don't know. I just don't. It's just, it's, I think you get every fan base, like, it, like the way the NHL Wheel of Justice spins so erratically that it comes around to every fan base, and every fan base has their moment where they get pissed off because this guy will get suspended for 3 games, or this guy won't get suspended, and you're a guy from your team does something and he does get suspended, and then you're pissed off for a week, and then you forget about it, and they'll move on to the next 2 teams. So we're just, we're in the mood where we're just, what the fuck?
I just advise people to, like, before, don't just look at the hit, look at the context of the play and see if the player is doing what they're supposed to or what they're taught to on that play. Like, in that instance, Connolly is supposed to cut that puck off, you know, at the fucking point. It just hopped over him. Yeah. So, like, I don't think he meant to go kill. Like, maybe he didn't mean to plant a hit on him, but I don't think he meant to, like, it wasn't malicious.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, yeah. It's very hard to, it's very hard to determine intent on hits of any kind, but like that one just, I guess maybe I'm a little bit biased. It did look like Connolly was like at the last, like at the very last split seconds, like, oh shit. And then hit him.
Pulled up.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know, maybe 4 games feels a little heavy. I'm not going to make a big deal about it for Connolly's sense, but I just don't, I don't get, like, when you have these other waypoints to compare it to, I don't understand how
the always about the consistency.
Yes.
That's always way. That's the biggest complaint everybody has with Department of Player Safety is the consistency issue that they have. It's just
or lack thereof.
Yeah. It's so stupid. And they don't do a good enough job explaining. I kind of think they should put out videos explaining, I don't know if we mentioned this before, explaining why they didn't give somebody a suspension instead of just a, you know, break all of them down. Okay. Mm-hmm. Break everything down. Anything major.
Yeah. But like they explain why they do give out penalties or suspensions. Like there's a full 4 minute video on Connolly's one, but you know, maybe hop in and explain why Trouba doesn't get suspended. That wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. Well, I think what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick pause, take a quick time out, and then we're going to talk about, whether or not there's going to be hockey. Maybe not exactly that, but obviously the elephant in the room the last few weeks in the entire sports world, not just hockey, has been COVID and how it's affected things. And I guess we're going to dive into that a little bit on the other side of this timeout. And then hopefully we'll get festive at the end of it, but come on back on the other side of this break for all of that.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smart Food, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. And as promised before the break, the obvious elephant in the room from the last few weeks of, again, not just hockey, but sports everywhere, has been, and just not even sports, just the world, is COVID's making a comeback. This new Omicron variant is apparently just wreaking havoc in a ton of places, or maybe it's just still Delta and Omicron's just getting started. I don't know. I'm not a medical professional. None of us are. So don't take any of this as medical advice of any meaning, but we're going to, like, this is clearly interacting with sports now. So we're going to try and look at this through the lens of sports. As we come to you Monday evening, the Blackhawks do have a game scheduled for Thursday against the Dallas Stars. Whether or not that happens, we're going to find out. There actually could be a league-wide shutdown but within the next day or two, as this tweet from TSN's Frank Cervelli from about an hour ago on Monday.
Not Daily Faceoff's Frank Cervelli.
Oh, really? I thought he was TSN. Yes.
No, he moved back.
I'm glad you guys said that, because I think I've identified him as TSN in several articles. So sorry, Frank, I know you're listening. He's not listening. But he said, sources say there's been a conversation today about a possible league-wide shutdown effective tomorrow. The situation remains very fluid. There's no decision yet. There's only 7 games left in the NHL between now and the Christmas break, which I believe starts after the 23rd. So starts on Christmas Eve, and I think it's 4 days where there were not going to be games anyway. They've already postponed 44 games a season, but 39 of those postponed games have happened in the last week. So obviously shit's getting real is the best way I can describe it. It's not, there's several teams that have had outbreaks. The Hawks just had Calvin DeHaan put into COVID protocol on Monday. And so far that's the only Blackhawk lately that's been in. They had 2 or 3 guys go in to the protocol earlier this season, I believe. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they've been largely unaffected by this, knock on wood. Hopefully that stays the course. But I don't know about the rest of you guys, but like for the last week or two, it started to feel like March 2020 again, that week where it started with the Utah Jazz and Rudy Gobert like testing positive, and they ran on the court and stopped the game right before they were going to do the opening tip. And then just like one by one for the next 3 or 4 days, like NBA canceled games and then shut down, and then college basketball, their conference tournaments were coming up that weekend one by one. All those got shut down. I'm around the high school sports scene. Everything in that got shut down pretty much. So it was just the way sports were getting postponed and canceled, all this stuff kind of felt like March 2020 over again. But then I listened to the ESPN Daily podcast on Monday. I don't know if any of you guys have listened to this or any of our listeners have. It's Pablo Torre does it. I think it's a very good show. I think Pablo Torre is very entertaining. But he had 2 people on today. They gave a bunch of information. One of them was a reporter and the other one was a doctor. I forget the exact classification of what they study, but sounded like somebody who had pretty good credentials in this field. So after listening to that, I find myself much more encouraged that we're not going to be reliving March 2020 all over again. But that is not to say that sports are not going to have any issues over the next few months, especially like seems like January is going to be interesting. And I think the 5 words from Frank Cervelli's tweet, I think, are going to be commonplace for the next month or two, is the situation remains very fluid. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen next month. And I don't think anybody does. And I guess with all of that said, I'll throw it out to Shay and everyone else and see what you guys think in terms of all that.
So the worst projection for Omicron is that it basically doubles the peak of January 2021.
Yeah. In terms of what?
In terms of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths, which are like the three biggies in COVID coverage. I think it was the CDC today came out and said they expect more cases than January 2021. They expect record cases over the next few months. So this might be peaking in like February. We're entering a bad period, everybody. This is not great. It's not good. Omicron doesn't mess around.
Well, the point of that like through a lens of sports is that I guess it's not sports, it's just like the world in general. Like, there's a vaccine out there, and all of the reports and everything that from any medical professional you see will tell you. I'm yet to see someone say other than if you got the shot and the booster, you're probably going to be okay.
Yes, and you'll probably be okay. You'll probably experience a mild case at worst. But like before now, like the vaccines have done a very good job of not only doing what they're supposed to do, which is prevent the severe symptoms of this disease, but prevent many infections. That's not what vaccines are supposed to do. That's icing on the cake. We've lost the icing because of Omicron. So we're now just on the cake. We have a nice bundt cake. It's a nice bundt cake. It'll keep you alive. We've lost the icing on that bundt cake.
Yeah.
But it's going to be complicated. And we've already seen the NHL and the NHLPA cancel basically the Olympics because of
It feels like they haven't made a definitive report yet, but that's coming in the next day or two. I think they're supposed to be an official call that they're not going to the Olympics, which, yeah, it sounds about right. But I guess my concern, like, at least through a sports lens of trying to, like, that period of March, April, and May, and whenever baseball came back, I don't think it was till like July. That like 3 to 4 month period where there were no sports on TV, like looking back at that, I guess it was around this area at least, like that's when the weather gets nicer, so at least you can go outside and do things. But if we get into a winter and there's no sports on TV to watch, like that's...
There's a game tonight.
Yeah, yeah. And like I'm not sitting here and advocating that the entire league needs to be shut down. I don't know. I'm going to let the people that get paid a hell of a lot more money than I do make that decision. But Betsy, I'll swing it over to you, I guess. Just what's been on your mind if you've been watching all of this stuff happen for the last week and a half?
I mean, I think it just really depends on, like, I'm totally fine with them lowering capacity at games if that makes people feel better, but a lot of the players who are getting this aren't having any symptoms. The only reason they're even catching their cases is because they get tested more regularly. I think they said, I think it was Dallas or I can't, which I know the Predators went back to daily testing. And there were like two other teams. Dallas might've been one of them.
Cause this is what came up on the ESPN Daily podcast that like, the NHL was actually testing more than any other league.
Yeah, but they were testing like every other day, and now they've gone back to daily. And then I think they're doing it not just daily. If a player gets a positive in the morning, they might test them later just to see if maybe they'll get a negative and can still play.
Yeah.
But, you know, the good thing is that they are all the players. Most of them are vaccinated. And so most of them are having either no or extremely mild conditions. So we do know the vaccine is working, and it's really more about like the public, like the players. Some of them seem to be like, well, we should just live with this and play. And then other ones are like, well, I don't feel like, I don't know if we should play and it's safe. So it's really whatever they feel the most comfortable with. The only part that sucks is the teams that have to play without stars, you know, big players, but like Nashville just played and kept their winning streak going. it was against the Hawks, so I'm not sure that's the greatest credit, but I don't even know if it should be like just doctors. It should be able to be up to the players if they want to play and play through it. Cause I know some of them, like there's such a difference of opinion, and they should just vote on the same thing they're doing with the Olympics. If they don't feel comfortable going, then they shouldn't have to. It's going to suck because it's going to mean the Olympics mean nothing again, hockey wise.
About this, but if this, you know, depending on how this variant goes, like the entire Olympic Games might be in jeopardy again. But well,
I don't think the IOC is going to do that because no other sport cares. Like none of the other individual sports seem to be worried about this at all. They're all like, let's just go. And the only reason, like even other hockey leagues are not caring about this. So it's just the NHL, and it's because it happens in the middle of their stuff. And people are worried about the whole, for the Olympics at least, it's that whole, you might be stuck there for weeks, which is a misconception of how Chinese law works. It's actually just, you could be there for up to 5 weeks, but really it's just until you get two negative tests over a 3-day period. So, but either way, whatever I think the players feel comfortable with. I'm fine with, they want to shut a couple of games down, if they want to shut the league down right now. most games are not going to be made up in February. So we're going to be without hockey in February, regardless of if they don't go to the Olympics, there's no hockey that period. So we'll at least have a little bit of winter.
Although I wonder if they, like, if they decide not to go to the Olympics, I wonder if they will try and put some games in that window to make up the ones that have been canceled.
There's
significant logistical issues.
Yeah, I was about to say, most venues have to get, you have to get months in advance. And since concerts are not being canceled at this time, concerts are still happening, those venues already have other things happening, sports and concerts. So somebody said something like, well, if they don't have a basketball team, you're forgetting that music exists.
Yeah. We'll see what happens next month. I don't know. Live shows got shut down before. I guess the one thing that you were talking about, and I think it's gonna, I've seen a few articles that, again, I believe these were written by people in the medical profession. So this is not like nonsense you saw on Facebook, but just the general idea was the way, like, the game has changed with COVID, like the original variants or the original COVID virus, the going to Delta and then to Omicron, the way the variants, it's so much more transmissible now that it is not something that you can, like, vaccinate your way out of it. It's going to exist. You're probably going to come into contact with it at some point in your life. It's just, whether or not you are vaccinated will be a significant barometer for how well you handle it. So with that thought, like, I don't know when we get to this point, but it feels like at some point, like, even if a player tests positive, if they're asymptomatic, let them go play. Like, I don't know when that's going to happen, but it feels like that is at some point that will happen. Right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. At a certain point, I feel like coronavirus is going to become like the flu. It's always going to be around, and we're going to get vaccinated against it. I don't think that'll happen this year, but maybe next, like, it could be happening as soon as next year. Everything that I've read about Omicron is that it's way more transmissible, but so far hasn't been quite as, like, harsh.
Yeah. And that's, like, I feel like it, like, there's been, I've seen some people caution that data, like, it's less harsh because a vaccine exists.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why it seems less harsh, but
I'll tell you
to Google it, because I don't know.
I'm all the way to my booster and I had COVID, so I must have super immunity.
Yes. You're a superhero. Congratulations. Mill, don't want to hog up all the airtime. So do you have any burning COVID thoughts you want to tell the people about?
Yes. If sports gets shut down, wrestling will not, and I will be turning this into a wrestling and food or food. Wrestling themed food podcast. Sorry.
I mean, if they shut down the NHL and AEW is all that exists, like, I'm not going to watch WWE.
I went to SmackDown on Friday and it was fun.
I've gotten someone into AEW. Well, so yeah, SmackDown, I'm sure it's fun, but I don't, who's even in WWE anymore? I don't even know who these people
Roman are. Reigns.
Brock Lesnar.
Roman Reigns, arguably the best in the world.
Yeah. I also got to see the Christmas Eve tapings. They did two SmackDowns for the price of one and didn't tell us. So that was kind of cool. So good value. But either way, there's lots of wrestling promotions to talk about. They're all interesting. So
we're going to talk to a wrestling podcast, aren't we?
That and probably talk about food more.
Well, yeah, because if there's no sports for me to watch, I'm going to end up eating a lot more food.
In all seriousness, though, like, when that shutdown happened, that was rough because, like many others, I watch a lot of different sports and am involved in it pretty heavily from different different angles. So I had to find shit to do. And I think it's not always a bad thing, but it does suck. So when there's no sports, so hopefully we won't get to that point. So take care of yourselves and take care of the ones around you. That's all I could say.
Yeah. I just, I don't know if anyone, like, I feel like it would take something pretty astronomical to get, like, entire leagues to shut down more than just, like, this upcoming Christmas break.
Well, baseball is going to be shut down anyway.
Well, baseball shutting itself down. Fuck those guys. Like,
Fuck the hell with baseball by now.
Well, I'll at least give until next year to when they're actually going to start. But if they ruin, like, what's supposed to be a really fun White Sox team for me.
That happened in 94.
Yeah. And I'm the only one here old enough to remember that. So.
Sorry. I was busy.
All right.
You know, being a child.
I think Mill's point was good, though. Like, take care of yourselves, take care of others, and you probably should go get your shots and your boosters if you haven't already, because
it's free.
It is free. I can confirm. And hopefully, I don't know, like, it sounds like cases are going to go up, but hopefully hospitalizations and deaths do not. And, you know, people get a cough for a few days, but for the most part, we're okay. But if any of you listening to this are in the medical, work in the medical world, good luck, because I can't imagine what it's been like to be in that position for the last 2 years. And all the indications are next month's going to get rough. So hopefully, I don't know, I just hopefully good things come out. Hopefully we're everybody's overreacting and it's not as bad as it seems at sometimes. But and hopefully sports are there for some level of entertainment for us. So now that we've officially brought the mood down, let's bring it back up with as we are once again the best food themed hockey podcast on the internet. Once again, Nielsen ratings can confirm that. So we got some holiday food talks. I mean, this is our last show before Christmas, which is coming up on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday, if I can do math. So we did a pretty good trip around the Christmas, the traditional holiday feast, where we've talked about food, we've talked about desserts, talked about drinks. So Betsy had one other area that we could explore related to holiday food things. So Betsy, I'll let you take the floor.
Okay, I'm very confused. What was my take?
It was something about candy. Something about
that was really more like Mill had a candy take.
Or Mill. All right, maybe it was Mill then. Sorry.
Yeah, like I think Christmas is, besides Halloween, which is a candy holiday, Christmas is probably the second highest grossing. Like, you always have candy around, right? Like, it's in Valentine's your stocking. Valentine's Day too, but I feel like Christmas is like overload. Like, you know what I mean? Valentine's Day is probably mostly chocolate, right? Like the hearts and stuff.
Yeah. I think
candy hearts. I'm a candy hearts person.
But I guess all I'm saying is there's always candy around, but I feel like we could do a better job with the candy canes because they're fine the way they are. And there's definitely different variants, but I feel like there should be more effort.
Don't say the B word.
What? You don't want an Omicron candy cane?
No, I don't.
But no, like candy canes are all right. Like, I don't really care about them either one way or the other. But like, come on, like you, they're starting to make more flavors and you just, I feel like they need to take better advantage of that.
I think with the thing with candy canes, like a candy cane itself is like probably below average. Like they're fine.
They're unoffensive.
If you put, like I had Do Right Donuts I'm pretty sure it's just a Chicago thing. But they make, I was by one recently. I picked up half a dozen donuts. They have one that it's a chocolate donut with like peppermint, it's a candy cane like sprinkled on it here and there. It might be the best donut I've ever had in my life. So I think that the trick with the candy cane is to have it in low quantities, and it makes it that much better because an entire candy cane isn't great, but if it's like sprinkled on things, it is phenomenal.
It's a performance enhancing candy.
Yes. I make cookies every year. And one of the cookies I really like to make is called the chocolate peppermint pinwheel. And like, that's crushed up peppermint. Like you hit it with a hammer multiple times and then chocolate. Like, so it's two loaves, you swirl them together. Fantastic. That's how peppermint is supposed to act, is like peppermint and chocolate. Like peppermint.
Yeah, it's good on top of shakes.
That's how it's supposed to be.
It's good on donuts and shakes and like different like things you could sprinkle it on.
Is peppermint best served as a condiment then? Is that what we're under?
Peppermint and chocolate. Peppermint is best served with chocolate, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, but as a condiment to chocolate.
Well, unless it's gum.
Yeah, peppermint gum's terrible. Sorry.
But there's better flavors of gum.
There is, but I'm just saying, like, you don't want like a condiment gum. but I feel like there are different flavors of candy canes that you should chop them up and be able to use those. Too, you know what I mean? Like they make like.
I mean, but have you tried like the different flavors of peppermints? There's a lot of bad flavors of peppermint.
I'm not talking about peppermint though. There's like different candy flavors that are
fruit flavored candy canes. Like, they're like
not like the shrimp ones, because there's like shrimp ones. There's like bacon ones.
What? Really?
Yeah.
The fuck?
No. Yeah.
Like some bubble gum candy canes.
I'm pretty sure there's like broccoli ones.
Candy? What? Candy canes not taste like. meat.
I'm calling the cops.
I don't have too many strong thoughts on candy canes, but they should not taste like meat or vegetables. They should taste like candy related items. Hence the name candy cane.
Would you consider? There's also buttered popcorn flavored candy canes, and since there's buttered popcorn flavored jelly beans, which are objectively good, would you consider buttered popcorn in a candy flavor?
Popcorn's not a candy, I don't think.
I like the flavor of that, but I don't like the texture of the gummy, like the bean with that flavor. Like it's a textural thing for me, so I don't think that I'd like the candy cane. Like, I want to eat the popcorn. Like, I get, like, you know what I mean?
You got the fluffy.
Like those beans that you do the wheel with, and they come with all those, like, gross flavors.
Nope. All you're making me think about is the Harry Potter.
That's exactly where I'm
at. Yeah, it's basically those, but they're, like, repackaged.
Oh, no, I have not tried those.
Yeah, the Harry Potter ones, it's the same thing. They taste like... I remember when that movie, the first one came out, my stocking was full of those damn beans. They're gross. And I ate all of them because I was like, I was like 9 or whatever in 2001. So I was like, oh, it's candy. This is disgusting, but I'm going to eat it. Oh, fuck. So
my thing about candy in general at Christmas and every holiday is that other than like one piece of candy, there's not really, it's really just the candy industry repackaging the same things over and over again. So we associate candy canes with Christmas and then candy corn with Halloween. But like, does Easter have its own type of candy? Like the Cadbury eggs, maybe?
The bunnies.
Yeah, but that's just chocolate. That's what I'm saying. Like, those are just, it's just reshaping it. Like Reese's is beautiful. Like Reese's does the best job because they're like, now we've got an egg. Now it's a tree. You know, like here's it in a pumpkin shape. But it's really just repackaging the exact same thing and slapping, you know, Christmas decorations on it and the cute little wrappers and stuff.
I when I bought my Halloween candy to give out this year, I think I told the store in here that the first store I went to did not have any Halloween candy. So I bought Christmas candy and I did have York peppermint patties in the shape of snowflakes. Christmas theme one, so they're apparently they're not the only Reese's is not the only one that could play that game.
Oh no! And bringing up the like other than like Peeps, but you can get marshmallow like the version Peeps makes a little Christmas tree versions of those, and I just want to set those on fire and eat them. So I don't mind it as much as they're trees than they are little bunnies.
What about the candy hearts though for Valentine's Day? That's like the only time you can get those.
I mean, you could get assorted chocolate at Christmas.
No, not the chocolate, like the ones that have little phrases on them.
Oh, okay. So every holiday has like one candy that's like associated just with that holiday, and then all other candy is just repackaged to fit.
Well, maybe by Easter we're out of ideas because of Halloween and Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day. So they're like, all right, just you know. Make it look like a bunny. There's your candy, and then we forget it. Then candy like goes away for 3 to 4 months, and then or probably about 6 months until the next Halloween. So there you go.
Here's your candy. 4th of July. What about 4th of July candy? We need to come out with some.
Oh yeah, well,
candy fireworks.
Yeah, there's no candy. It's just popsicles and cotton candy.
Grilling items.
Yeah, that's a summer holiday. Like that's not a I feel like summer holidays aren't as candy centric because it melts.
Are there other summer holidays? What are they?
Memorial Day.
Not really a holiday. That's a day. That's a bank holiday. They don't really count, do they?
I mean, you have
bank holidays are the best. Like, because like if you get off work.
I mean, yeah. There's not a lot of holidays in the summer because. There's summer vacation, so we don't need excuses to not have to go to work or school.
Yeah. When's Arbor Day? Is that in April?
I don't know. when's Flag Day?
No, Arbor Day is legit.
They had the
Viva La Bam where they built the treetop casino for Arbor Day. You remember that? Am I dating myself here?
not any more than I usually am.
So go gamble on Arbor Day, people.
Yeah, there we go. That's how do we get from peppermint candy to Arbor Day?
Well, because I had the take, so that just means it's not going to make any damn sense.
Yeah. Arbor Day is going to be Friday, April 29th, Mill, so prepare
planning to go to the boats.
All right, well, we've covered a lot of ground this evening. Any other thoughts before I go hate my life by watching the Bears for 3 hours?
Play Strome.
Play Strome, yes.
And Kershaw.
Play Kershaw.
Play the kids.
Put Kroli on PP1.
Stromishev, I'm shipping the wingers now.
I was gonna ask who, if not looking at Twitter, because it just came up on Twitter, who do you think has the best expected GAR on in Chicago of all the players?
The Bulls.
Yes.
Of the Blackhawks players.
DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah. No, he's the truth.
Best GAR.
The Brinkhat.
No.
No,
really.
Just a goal.
That's Hagel? Who it usually is.
Hagel,
Fleury.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's gonna say it's got to be Hagel.
Because I was.
He's not like the best at any one category, but he's better at more categories than anybody else.
Hey, good things happen when he's on the ice. I mean,
I feel like Hagel's becoming more and more like a poor man's Brandon Saad. I guess is how I describe it. Because I feel like Saad had a little bit more offensive finish to his game, but the way that Hagel can skate and drive play.
Yeah, he doesn't have the ass that Saad does. He's more like a smaller, like, you know what I mean?
Maybe he's like a Shaw-Saad combination.
Yeah.
Or almost like, almost has a little Versteeg in him when he wasn't acting a fool.
No, Hagel was a lot more of a, like, rat in juniors. Like, he was better at like that kind of stuff, and he hasn't really shown that very much. And when he was with the Ice Hawks, he took a lot of penalties doing that kind of stuff. So I mean, smart that he's not.
It's good. Yeah, I think it's because he's faster than everybody. Like,
yeah, he draws his penalties that way.
It's like, Luis, learn to use your speed as a weapon.
We just gotta stack up the pop cans right in front of the net.
Hell no. Good stuff.
All right, we've made it all the way back to Mighty Ducks, so I think that's a good time to put a bow on this episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. Thanks again for listening. Again, around the horn, you can find Shepherd Price on Twitter at Shepherd Price. Mill is at Mill182. I'm at SCH_DaveM. Betsy's not on Twitter, but you can find her at SecondCityHockey.com under the name LBR, where you can find all of our stuff. And if there are games to write about, we will write about them. If there aren't games, we're going to try and find something to fill up the airtime between them. The main hockey account is, or just main account in general, is at 2ND City Hockey. 5-star reviews, if you can leave them for us, that'd be great. That's our Christmas wish, is that you leave us all 5-star reviews at iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcast. And I think that's going to do it for this episode. This is our last episode. It's going to be our last episode of 2021, because we're going to take next week off, because there may not be games to talk about next week, and we're just going to take next week off anyway. So thanks to everyone that's been listening to this all over the year. It's been fun, even if the Hawks haven't been. Thank you to the usual crew of Mill, Betsy, and Shay for hanging out. It's been a pleasure talking Hawks with you guys over the last year, and looking forward to it even more next year. Hopefully there's more wins to talk about. But other than that, I hope everyone has a safe and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And go get your shots and boosters, so January isn't as bad as it seems like it could be in some areas. And hopefully we'll be back in 2022 talking about hockey and Blackhawks victories. So for Mill, for Shay, for Betsy, I'm Dave. Have a great year. We'll talk to you in 2022.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.